This morning, we are starting a new sermon series that will continue throughout the month of November, and it's called Hashtag Life Goals. Hashtag Life Goals. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to tap into some of the gratitude and some of the reflectiveness that we have in this season as we move into the holidays. And we think about all the things that we have and all that we are living for. And the source of all that goodness is God. Today we're talking about one life goal called abundance. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about where that life goal comes from and where it comes from in Scripture and how we can endeavor to live it out together as people here in this church, as people who live our faith out in the world as the body of Christ. I want to read to you from the Gospel of John in the 10th chapter, verses 7 through 10. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and who come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus came so that we may have life and have it abundantly. And I wonder about what that means. What does it mean to have life and to have life abundantly? Does it mean that we get to have everything we could ever want and dream of on demand at the snap of a finger? Does it mean that we don't have to work for the things that we need and want in life, that all are equal, that we will never hurt or want again? No, is the short answer to that. The idea that we could have abundant life begins in the scriptural narrative. It begins in the Old Testament, where God promises the Israelite people shalom. Shalom is a word that means that we will have peace, that we will have prosperity, that we will have all that we need and want in a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And that God, the one who cares for us, the one who provides for us, the one who protects us, will be the one to usher in that gift of shalom. Shalom is not only a promise from God, but it's a promise that the people in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, made to each other. It was like a kiss of peace or a greeting, like we say hello and goodbye, or folks in Hawaii say aloha. Folks in that time and place would greet each other with a kiss and with the word shalom. And what it meant is, may you experience the peace of God today. May all be well in your family and with those whom you love. May you have enough bread to eat. May the conflicts that are rushing around outside your household not interfere with your daily life. May your crops grow and be fruitful. May your children have babies and multiply so that your legacy can live on. So just as they greeted each other with that word shalom, they also departed with that word shalom. It was an opening greeting and a goodbye. This was the promise and the dream that they hoped could be lived out throughout the course of their life. Now, as we know, the Israelite people had a lot of troubles. They had a lot of trials. They were in exile for a long time, and their wars and their land was just uprooted and changed dramatically. But we know that God provided for them in a lot of ways, that God took care of them, that God protected them, and that their faith, their legacy, lives on. So much so that Jesus, who was raised as a Jewish person, understood these lessons. And he made it part of the lessons that he taught people in the New Testament, in the Gospels. And that's where we hear this lesson from the Gospel of John, where Jesus is talking about how he is the gate. and how he is the one who came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Now, when Jesus was talking about abundance, he was talking about how when we are in a relationship with him, we have all that we need. We are emotionally satisfied. We are spiritually satisfied because we have received the gift of forgiveness. We have received the gift of his grace. We have received the gift of reconciliation and new life and ultimately eternal life. So for Jesus, when he was talking about abundant life, he's talking about the life that never ends. He's talking about when we arrive at the place where life goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on, and we have all our needs and they are met day after day after day by this good and gracious God, we will have abundant life. We will be in heaven. We will be reunited with all those whom we love, all those whom have gone before us, and there shall be no more crying. There shall be no more sickness. There shall be no more violence. But all our needs will be satisfied because of our relationship with him. Jesus is talking about how he is the gate. He is the entrance. He is the one who makes all these things possible. He's the one that opens that door to make abundant life possible because he's the one who offers us this extravagant gift that is so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. Jesus says, I am the gate, and all you need to do is walk through. All you need to do is participate in a relationship with me. All you need to do is put your hand on the gate. Put your hand on that knob that enters you into my kingdom. You might feel inadequate, you might feel undeserving, but Jesus looks at you and says, come, come unto me and I will give you life, new life, abundant life, eternal life. Come unto me because you are beloved and you are precious and you are worthy of this gift. Just like a shepherd knows the name of all of his sheep, Jesus knows who we all are. And he loves us and cares for us and provides for us and protects us. Now, this meaning of abundance in the Old Testament and the New Testament is pretty different from the one idea that I have abundance when I think about it in terms of my life and the 21st century and how I live it out. Is it different from what you think about in terms of abundance? Just nod your head or give me a thumbs up or something. Okay, there we go. Good, you're listening. You're with me. So when I think about abundance, I think about all the things I have and all the stuff I want and how I get to spend my paycheck and my husband's paycheck and how we can collect it all and how we can keep it all in this place that we call our house and how much money we have in our pension accounts and our 401ks and all these things. And at a certain point, I'm going to get to a point where I say, oh, yeah, we have an abundance now. We've got enough. We have all that we need and all that we could want. But abundance really is not about what we have. It's not about the education we have obtained. It's not about the level of income that we earn. It's not about the house that we live in or what kind of car we drive. It's not about our leisure activities and how we spend our free time. It's not about the stuff that we accumulate. I was reflecting on this week, and I was talking with my mom and dad about it. And one of the things I was talking about is I asked my folks, I said, how much money did you spend on groceries when my sister and I were little? Because we're getting to the point in our household where we're having to adjust our budget because Michael, my son, who's 4, is eating us out of house and home. And I'm a little scared for what's going to happen when he's a teenager. So I was calling my parents and I was saying, Mom and Dad, you know, we're spending about $175 a week right now on groceries. And I'm doing the couponing and I'm going to the different stores to get what we need to make it all affordable. You know, I've got the luxury of being able to find an abundance of food for our household at places like Kroger and Trader Joe's and the Costco. And, oh my God, the Costco. Just have my whole paycheck. Just here you go. But I was asking them, and I said, this is how much we spent. And they said, well, we never spent that much, but it was a different era. It was a different era, and food costs have gone up now. And we always found a way to stretch a dollar to make it all work. And then I asked, I said, yeah, but what about those nights when the meal plan just goes to pot and you're stuck in rush hour traffic and you don't have time to cook and so you call in a pizza? You order a pizza. And they said, well, yeah, that happens too. And I said, well, how blessed are we that we can do all of these things? That we have the privilege of knowing that it's all going to be okay. That when we go to swipe our card at the cashier station, that we know there's enough money in the bank. How blessed are we to know that if the meal plan goes to pot, we can call in a pizza order. How blessed are we to be able to go to 3 or more different grocery stores to get the foods that we need and want and be able to have the choice to prepare it all for our family. It feels like an abundance, doesn't it? It feels like something that we can be grateful for and at the end of the day put up a hashtag life goals. Today I made a crock pot meal and we all sat down at the dinner table and there was a fruit and a vegetable and a protein all on the plate. Hashtag mom win, right? These are the kinds of things that represent abundance. But abundance is not about what we have, and it's also not about what we get. Sometimes as Christians, I think we get a little holier than thou when we talk about abundance and we talk about our relationship with Jesus Christ and we say, oh, I'm saved. I have obtained forgiveness. I have been given the gift of grace and the gift of salvation. I have eternal life, and therefore, I am all that in a bag of potato chips, you know? I have something other people want. I have something other people need. And pity those who don't yet understand. Abundance is not about what we have and it's not about what we get, but it's about what we get to share. Abundance is also not about what we get to claim. It's not about the sense of entitlement that we have as Christians or the knowledge that we have of scripture and theology or even the power that we have as people of privilege. We live in a marvelous time and in a marvelous place where we know what it means to be cared for and provided for and protected. We know that we can live our faith openly without facing persecution or violence, without facing fear or famine or sword. And this is a very different time and place from which the people in the Israelite nation was living out their promise of shalom. And it's a very different time and place than the people to whom Jesus was talking about when he mentioned abundant life in the Gospel of John. So we need to be careful when we think about abundance in the 21st century. We need to remember to be grateful for all that we have and acknowledge the source from where it comes from. We need to be humble about what we receive as a gift from Jesus. And we need to claim that it's not all about us, but it's about what we get to share in his name. I'd like to invite you all to, I'm going to stop talking for a minute, and I'm going to invite you to turn and talk to someone who is near you. It can be one person or two persons. And I'm going to invite you to have a conversation about what some of your life goals are. If you were to name a life goal that you have, what would it be? It could be personal, it could be professional, it could be spiritual, it could be any number of things. I'm going to invite you to turn and talk to someone, and at some point I'm going to invite you to switch. And then you have to find a new person to talk to. That might involve turning in your seat. It might involve getting up and moving to see someone else. It might simply involve introducing yourself to someone who is new to you. I'm going to have you turn and talk about what one of your life goals is at this time, and then we'll continue on with our message. Go ahead. Go. Thank you so much for engaging in this conversation with your neighbors. I'm going to invite you to go ahead and find a new person to talk to. And this is your other question. What do you think Jesus wants for your life? What do you think is a goal that Jesus has for you as you live your life? The questions are up on the screen if you forget them. Go ahead and take 30 more seconds to wrap up your conversations, and then we'll come back together for the rest of our message. It's so good to see you engaging in these relationships and crossing the threshold of conversation in worship, because this is the place where God meets us here in this community. As we rest in the knowledge that we can be ourselves here in this place, that we are loved here in this place, and that our life matters so much that we can have an impact in the world and impact change here in this place together. Our relationship with God is a gift because we receive so many blessings from God, who is good, who is loving, who is always reaching out to us. The God who loves us is always reaching out a hand, always sending a message, always pulling us and drawing us nearer. Our God is always walking beside us no matter what is happening in life, whether it's a good day or a bad day, whether we feel like we're on the mountaintop and we are accomplishing our life goals and we have everything we need and want, or whether we're in the valley and life stinks and there's so much more that we dream about. There's so much more that we hope for. Whether we're experiencing joy or sorrow, God is with us. And whether we're feeling like what we're getting out of this life is meager or satisfying, God is with us. This is the God who's a shepherd, who walks with his sheep and who says, "Come to me, for I am the gate. And here with me, here in a relationship with me, you will have abundant life." Part of that abundance, part of that blessing, is being in relationship with Jesus, and part of being in relationship with Jesus involves being partners in his mission in the world. One of my favorite theologians is a woman, and her name is Julian of Norwich, and she's a pretty old girl. She comes from the 14th century, but one of her most famous lines is that there is a force of love working in the world. And that force of love is more powerful, is greater than anything else that will ever come. And that force of love is God. That force of love is the thing that we have to share with others. It's the thing that wells up inside of us and makes us realize that out of our abundance, we have something that we can give back. That force of love is the thing that makes us realize that on Sunday mornings, we need to be here in this place, giving God our praise. That force of love is the thing that wells up inside us and makes us ask the question, how do I spend my time? How do I serve? How do I help other people experience the gift of God and that promise that all things can be well in their life too? It's that force of love is the thing that wells up inside of us when I see kids walking up the aisles collecting change and paper money so that their neighbors can gather around their own dining room tables this holiday season to have a warm meal with their families, to be together and to celebrate. That force of love that wells up inside of us is the thing that makes it possible for us to raise a whole bunch of money for an organization in Detroit that helps kids who have been abused and neglected and traumatized by violence. That force of love that wells up inside of us is the thing that invites a Stephen minister to sit with someone who's lost a loved one for hours and listen to their stories about how they met and how they were married and how they had their children and what happened as they died. That force of love is at work in the world and it's making all things well so that all people can experience this gift of abundant life. I heard another story the other day about an anthropologist who came from the United States of America and he was studying a tribe in Africa. And he went to Africa to get to know the social behavior of this indigenous tribe a little better. And when he gathered, he first went to the local school where the children spent their days trying to learn and grow, just like as our children would. And he asked the teacher if he could have the kids play a game. And so the kids gathered in a circle and the anthropologist put out a basket filled with ripe fruits. All these fruits that were delectable, that were considered treats to these children in the tribe. He put out the basket in the middle of their circle, and then he had them all step back about 300 yards. He had them form a line across like this and said, "Ready, get set, go." And they raced towards the basket. But before any child took a piece of fruit, the first one waited until the second arrived, and until the third one arrived, and until the very last, the very slowest child arrived. And when all the kids had arrived at the basket safely, they formed their circle again, and one by one took a piece of fruit out of the basket and ate it all together, ate their treat all together. The anthropologist was like flabbergasted by this idea that there was a prize, a treat waiting for them at the end of this race. And why wouldn't you go and grab what was yours and take the whole basket and go and enjoy it all by yourself? So he asked the children, he said, "Why did you wait for each other before you ate the food?" And what the children said in response was, "How can one of us be happy if all the others are sad? How can one of us be happy if all the others are sad?" There was enough. There was enough food in that basket for each child to have something, for each child to feel like a winner, for each child to enjoy a treat. There was an abundance so that each child could experience the joy of that gift. I wonder, what lesson could we learn from those little children? What lesson could we learn from sharing what we have with others, for taking a turn, for serving our neighbor in need? What lesson could we learn from recognizing that we have enough, that we are enough, and that as partners in this mission with Jesus, who is our shepherd, we're being led to share what we have with others so that all people can experience the life and the abundant life that Jesus has come to offer us through his love and the gift of his salvation. As we think about our life goals, hashtag life goals, I encourage you to think about what you have, the abundance that you have been blessed with, and how you're called to share something of it this holiday season. Will you pray with me? Loving God, you are our shepherd. You are the one who walks with us, who journeys with us in all times and all places. You are the one who has given us so much through the gift of your Son, Jesus. And now, as we consider what we have to share with others, we first want to say thank you. We want to say thank you for our many blessings, for the worries that do not hang over our heads, and for the ways in which you are working actively in our life to take care of the worries that do hang over us, that do keep us up at night. On this day, O God, as we prepare to recognize Veterans Day tomorrow, we also want to say thank you for the abundance of service that has been given by men and women in the armed forces so that we can experience an abundance of freedom, an abundance of luxuries and liberties that have been given to us because of the sacrifice of others. Help us, in the example of their service, in the example of their humility, to go forth and serve others in Jesus' name. Amen.